So, Dr. Asplund, the main thing that we're going to kind of focus on today is these open houses that are coming up on Saturday. And kind of what is the district's idea of having these open houses? What's the point of it?
Well, we'd had these buildings done for a year, and because of the coronavirus crisis, we haven't been able to get large-scale numbers of people in the buildings. So
yeah.
We'd really like for community members, parents, students, whomever, really anybody that's interested to see what the buildings look like and to see how much of an improvement they are over what we had before. We really would love to basically brag and show off how great these places are and give people an opportunity to get in and see where those kids are going to school and see where their tax dollars are going and, you know, really just show off how great the buildings are.
What would you say is, like, maybe it's different building by building, but what's the most striking difference from where it was before?
Well, I would say the most striking difference is King.
Yeah.
Because for those of you that have ever been inside King, you know, when the district built it in the 60s to when we decided to remodel it, not much was ever really done to that building. So you had about 50 years of just basically the same with stuff getting older.
Yeah.
So that building is a completely different, I mean, it doesn't even look like the same building.
Yeah.
And so that's very striking. And then, you know, steel, the addition onto the back is more just a continuation of the renovations that were done in 2011. So since that building had already been renovated, it's not as striking a difference, but it's really a fantastic addition.
Mm-hmm.
It really blends in with the old, and when I say old, you know, we're talking 10 years old. With the older renovations there, the library is really a cool new decorating idea and how that looks. And then at Lombard, the commons area, when you come in on the south end, that was kind of an eyesore before where it was like a gravel parking lot and there really wasn't much to it.
Yeah.
Whereas now that's really kind of the most beautiful part of the building, this huge common space with big windows that look to the south. And, you know, that's a really great space, and adding a much bigger band room and expanding for our band and choir. That's a great addition for us too. So there's a lot to really look at in all of the buildings. And I hope we can get as many folks as possible into each building. And all of those open houses are from 9 to 2 on Saturday. So, you know, you stop in any time to any of those buildings.
Is it sort of like a guided tour situation, or you just kind of can roam around the building more or less?
Yeah, really, it'll be just roam around the building and look around. We'll have people on site, obviously, but mm-hmm. we're there just to answer questions or help out or, you know, anything that people would need. But, you know, it's really more of a self-guided tour just to see all the doors will be open. You can look in classrooms. You can go in the gyms, the cafeteria, wherever, just so people can see really the full extent of what those renovations are.
It like the elementary buildings were before kind of, they all kind of were the same, right? It seemed
right.
Like a cookie cutter, and they just kind of placed them in different places.
Right.
Is that
so with the
different?
Exception of Silas Willard, obviously,
yeah.
You know, the others we call the pod schools because they were all built, you know, A pod, B pod, C pod. So, you know, Nielsen and King on that side of town were basically identical. And so we closed down Nielsen, and now we're trying to sell it. But, and then Gale, obviously, we closed, and that was identical, too. And then Lincoln, where our district office is, that's been renovated, but that was the same footprint. And then Steele was the same, and then it had an addition back in 11, so it started to look different. But, yes, they were all basically identically the same building. And so they've all been now renovated, and King doesn't look like a pod building anymore other than, you know, there are classes down wings, just like they were before, but they look very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is something kind of cool and rewarding about, I mean, I think I've been in maybe Steele or Lombard, and there's parts of it that feel very classic, very like the old buildings, and there's parts of it that feel like, you know, you're in the 21st century.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it, especially Lombard, when that building's, you know, one of the oldest ones now, and so that building was built in the 30s, and, you know, it's got some beautiful old architectural stylings to it that we can't replicate anymore, so... I'm a fan of architecture, so I really have a particular affinity for Lombard in the sense that it has a very striking view from the front when you're looking at the north side. And then we've done our best to try to match that look around the building, but it definitely now has a 21st century feel and has newer flooring and the walls and the bathrooms, even, you know, the hand washing stations are new. I mean, they're just very futuristic. So there is a great blend of future and past, especially at Lombard.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of kind of development, what's the, I guess, the situation where we're at right now with the Galesburg High School 7-12 Center? How's that coming along?
It looks really good. We're a little bit farther behind than we'd like to be, and that's almost all attributed to just delivery delays and things of that sort. If you go to the back of the high school, there's still 18 pod sections out there from the modulars that were out there last year. And that's a trucking shortage thing. So anyway, I digress. The building looks really good. The goal now is to get the students back into the building on the 13th of September. We still have to get an occupancy permit from the Regional Office of Education, and there's a walkthrough on that next week and the week after to make sure we have all the items done that we can actually inhabit the building. But, it's coming along very well. It will definitely not be a finished product when the kids walk in, but it'll definitely look a whole lot different than the last time they walked in the building. I'm in there all the time, so, I've kind of gotten used to it. But when I bring people in that haven't been in, they'll always tell me, I'm lost. I don't even know where I am because the building looks so much different.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished the kitchen last year, so that to me is a year old. But then I forget that very few people have ever seen it.
Yeah.
And so that'll be brand new to everybody as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be a really exciting change. In the commons area where the auditorium used to be, the backside of the auditorium, that'll be the new cafeteria. And that's a really striking space that people comment on when I bring them in on tours. And
mm-hmm.
It's a much brighter building now. We've focused on bringing in more natural light and painting the brick white instead of yellow and inside. And so the goal is to brighten up the space as much as possible. And it really is beautiful. It's just, a little bit frustrating that it won't be as far along as we wanted it to be when kids come into the building.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought the yellow was such a good idea myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of things as I look back through my childhood, the Harvest Gold appliances and things like that, and the avocado and stuff. There's a lot of questions about why things got colored the way they did. But, we're much more the fans of bright spaces now than having a lot of dark spaces. So,
mm-hmm.
It really is going to be beautiful, and people, when they come in for the first time, will be amazed at how much different it looks.
Yeah. And these are pretty wild times with all this going on. There's still COVID-19 issues, and can you kind of talk about what the process was for District 205? Because it seemed like you guys were having the discussion about whether you're going to have a mask mandate or not in District 205, and you kind of said, like, let's hold on a wait a month, because we'll probably get some guidance, and then what do you know,
I was Nostradamus on that one.
Yeah,
that turned out. I've been doing this a while, so I kind of learned that you just wait, because things will change.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I just wanted to, I heard some frustration or confusion. I know, there's been lots of public comments at these meetings of people that they don't like the mask situation. And they, I think, almost feel that the district should take their chances and defy the mask mandate because masks are so egregious. And I guess, can you just kind of address that and what the, once the mandate came down, what was the board's in your position on what you could and couldn't do or what you should and shouldn't do?
Great question. So, the discussion we had at the board level was it's a mandate, and mandate means mandatory.
Yeah.
And that's not really optional. So I'm not going to question why other districts decided to vote on it or whatever they decided to do, because, those districts know what's best for them.
I guess, would there ever be a mandate from the state where you'd be thinking, that's so terrible that absolutely not, we're going to take our chances?
I can't imagine what that would be.
Right.
But I mean, I suppose anything's possible, Cameron. Mm. But as long as it's not illegal or immoral, we feel like we really need to follow. There's lots of things we do that I don't necessarily agree with, but that, they're mandatory or they're the law, so we mm-hmm. do them. I think it sends a dangerous message to kids that, we're going to pick and choose what we decide is going to be, because how do you then enforce your dress code? How do you then decide, hey, kids, we don't follow everything the state says, but you have to follow everything we say. To me, that's mm-hmm. a slippery slope that I don't know where you really get started and stopped on that. We took the position that it really wasn't a vote needed because it's a mandate. We've never voted on a mandate before, and we're not planning on starting now.
Right.
There's obviously a lot of strong feelings out there that this is something we should try to defy. While I don't always necessarily agree with Governor Pritzker, I think he's coming at this from a place of trying to, stem the tide of a virus that's killing and hurting a lot of people. I for one don't like wearing a mask, but I do it
yeah.
Because it's the right thing to do right now and try to save other people. And You know, I've been vaccinated. I'm not telling other people they have to get vaccinated, but, you know, that's, I think that's the right thing to do if you can. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've made that personal decision for myself. You know, I think that, you know, we're obviously in very strange times, and I wonder aloud if social media had been around in the 50s, if anybody would be inoculated from polio right now. I mean, I feel like it's a very analogous situation, but somehow we've gotten to the point where, you know, the vaccine and masks have become political, and I don't know why, because it doesn't seem to be a political issue, but I guess anymore, everything's a political issue. I'm always very proud to say, I think both parties are messed up, so I can, I can sling arrows in both directions. I'm a proud independent, but, you know, I don't understand that. And, you know, we're going to do what the state tells us to do because, you know, that's not a precedent we think is something we should start setting. Now, as you said, is there something out there that would make us stop? I suppose so. I don't know what that would be, but I suppose there could be at some point. If it was diminishing the rights of a particular body of people, yeah, I suppose that would be a problem.
I guess some people view it that way, though.
Yeah, and that's the part I don't get.
Right.
Because everybody's expected to do it. It's not like it said, hey, you know, blonde-headed kids, you have to wear a mask. Like, it's true. I don't get it. Like, that, everybody has to do it. So I don't see where there's a discrimination of that. We're just trying to keep everybody safe. And, you know, as I said, I don't know anybody that enjoys wearing the mask, but it's just trying to keep everybody healthy and safe. And I think the focus really, and for most of the parents I've spoken to in District 205, we're of one mind of, we just want the kids in school. Mm-hmm. You know, we want the kids in school 5 days a week, regular schedule. And maybe... for those districts that had a lot more of that last year, maybe they started to take that a little bit more for granted than maybe we did in District 205 because we were out a little bit longer than everybody else. So, you know, I think most of the focus at least in our community in District 205 has been, hey, we're just glad to get kids in school. Mm-hmm. So, and I definitely can speak strongly to that. That's our focus. That's our singular focus, getting kids in school 5 days a week for as long as humanly possible. So, that's going to continue to be our focus. And then, you know, when the mask mandate lessens and moves on, you know, we'll move on. But, you know, right now it is what it is. So that's what we're going to do.
This is very fresh. And you said you don't really know much more than the average person. But today, I guess the governor is going to announce that all school workers are going to have to be vaccinated. I guess what can you tell us about that? Is there any sort of how will this be enforced? I mean, what can you tell us about that?
That's a great question. I don't know any more than you. I just read it myself. I got an email last night from our attorney at like 10 o'clock. So I guess I knew it, you know, maybe 12 hours ago. But I don't know at this point, but I would imagine that if you aren't vaccinated, you're going to have to get tested regularly. And I would have guessed that would be at the employee's expense to be able to do that. So, you know, and there's always going to be those. I mean, we have people now that don't get all the vaccines because they have doctor's notes that say they're medically fragile or they have, you know, immunity problems. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that reasons that people don't get all the vaccines now.
Yeah.
So I would just lump this into that, I guess, at some point. You know, the issue is going to be how many people are going to just say they're not getting it just because, like, that's going to be how you determine what a valid reason for not getting it versus an invalid reason.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want to be the person that has to do that. It may fall to me. I don't know. But, you know, that's going to be, you know, the next country we live in, I guess, you know, that we're going to have to try to figure that out. And, once again, I think it's coming from a place of trying to keep people safe. But, you know, I also understand that there are good reasons why some people don't get the vaccine. So,
sure.
I don't believe it should be 100% mandatory for everybody, regardless of the situation. I think we have to look at people's individual circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that I guess that we should touch on before we wrap it up here?
Well, I mean, you know, it's obviously been really hot outside, and we hope it's going to cool off here for next week when school starts. And, you know, other schools in the area are already in. You know, we're starting next Wednesday with teachers and then Thursday with students. And, I think I can speak for everybody and all our teachers, our paraprofessionals, our cafeteria ladies, you know, everybody,
yeah.
That we're all just really excited for the kids to come back to school.
it's going to be a pretty normal year other than the mask and whatnot, right? I mean, there's nothing, there's all the sports are have normal schedules and everything's
as happening. Of right now, everything is the same other than we'll have masks on a lot of the time.
Just be grateful for that, inside. Maybe. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I personally am. I mean, last year wasn't fun for anybody.
Yeah.
And you know, this is far superior to what we had last year, in my opinion. So I'm just excited for kids to walk back into school because it's just... It was a long slog last year, and from February on, we were able to have most of the kids in there. But you know, we had some times where we had to close buildings down, and that was no fun either. And that could happen again this year, I suppose. I mean, we certainly hope that doesn't happen, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure the kids are staying in school, and that's going to continue to be the message. And you know, that's the focus. We're going to try to do everything we can to keep kids in school every day. So. Whatever that is what we're going to do because it is a lot better when the kids are here and the year appears a lot more normal because last year was anything but that.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing people on Saturday.